Well, you guys, I love you very much, and we're so glad to be able to share the word with people, and especially this topic of the word, because it really is the most important thing that we can do in our day and time, and that is to walk in that love of God towards one another. Last Thursday, Barney did a great teaching on love. The first thing he said is, love is an action. And I'm sure we all know one of the greatest acts of love is stated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is action. God took action on the love that he had for mankind. And that's what he wants us to do. Tonight we're going to look at a couple of acts of love. Some of the greatest ones, I think, done by our Lord Jesus Christ right after the resurrection. And one of the reasons I picked this was because it was a very hard time then. There was fear, there was doubt, there was guilt, there was condemnation, there was a mixture of emotions in the people that were closest to Jesus Christ, his 12 apostles, the disciples that followed him, Mary Magdalene, I'm sure his mother. And yet, God took care of them in those circumstances with the greatest person that could have ministered to them, and that was Jesus Christ at that time. So I want to go to John chapter 20, start in verse 11, and I'm using the New King James Version tonight. And this one is about Mary Magdalene and her being able to see Christ. And I know these specific ones are hugely important. And just as we read them, just allow God to show you the greatness of this love that we actually have within us to give to each other, and to those who still need to hear and know about our Lord. So we're going to start with Mary, and this is a time when she is the first person who sees Jesus and his resurrected body, and I think that is an amazing record, and it is an amazing event, and how these events unfold. Mary, verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the womb weeping, and as she weeped, she stooped down and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white setting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And I'm sure that upset her that that body wasn't there at that moment. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. I'm sure her vision of Jesus was what she had just seen happen on the cross at that point. And Jesus said to her, she didn't know who it was. And Jesus said to her in verse 15, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said to her, Mary. He spoke her name to her in a voice that she recognized. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which is to say teacher. I am sure at that moment where her heart was from this act of love. I mean, Jesus had just been resurrected. I mean, I'm sure he was ready to get the heck out of here after all he'd been through, but he knew that God had things for him to do still. And here he is, the first person who sees him, and he's ministering to her. And she was a very important person in his life. And Jesus in verse 17 said to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Just a little piece of what I recognized here is, sure shoots the Trinity theory out the window. He's going to go ascend to his Father and our Father and to his God and our God. And Mary came and told the disciples what she had seen and that he had spoken these things to her. So not only does he take time to minister to her, he gives her something to do. He gives her a vision. Go and tell my brethren this. Tell them, tell him you have seen me. What a wonderful thing that he took the time and he knew exactly what to do to minister to her. Because if you keep reading, she is very excited and she tells them. And let's go to Luke 24. And the next one that I picked was the two men on the road to Emmaus. And we'll start in verse 27, Luke 24, 27. And Jesus meets these guys on the road, and they don't really know what's going on. He asks them, and they go, no, not really. And so in verse 27, it says that he began at Moses and all the prophets and expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He knew who he was. He knew it as he grew up. He knew it as he studied the word. He knew, and he knew the kind of love that lived inside of him because he was loved by God Almighty, his Heavenly Father. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. He took the time to walk with these guys all day. He saw Mary early in the morning. This is now evening, and they've asked him to stay. And he said, and verse 30 says, now it came to pass as he sat at the table with them that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Is that amazing? That just blew my mind. He begins with Moses and all the prophets, taking a walk with them. He ends up having dinner. I mean, explaining all the things concerning himself, the Messiah. This is what people have said, but this is what has happened. And I don't know exactly what he told him, but he indicated who he was and all he had gone through, and they constrained him and wanted him to stay, and he stayed long enough to break bread with them and to bless them and give it to them, and then their eyes were open and they realized who he really was. He wasn't just a man telling them the story. He was the Messiah. He was the risen Christ, and he vanished from their sight. It just blows my mind how they must have felt. And then verse 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? These were part of his followers, but they didn't know what had happened. They hadn't stayed in touch or whatever, but for some reason they didn't know everything that happened. And here's Jesus Christ, two people, not a whole 2,000 people or 25,000 people that he had preached to. Two people. He took the time right after the resurrection to minister to them to the point that it opened their eyes and they honestly knew who he was. Now, the last one I want to look at tonight, I want to go to John 21. And to me, this is one of the sweetest loving acts. I don't know why particularly this one for me, but it just almost brings tears to my eyes. Go to John 21. Because, you know, all this stuff is going on, and, you know, Peter, when Peter doesn't know what to do, he goes fishing. So John 21, verse 4, but when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. How they could not have known that, I don't know, but they didn't, it says. Verse 5, then Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they said, no. They're out on the boat fishing, and he's calling to them from the shore. Verse 6, And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Verse 7, therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that was the Lord, he put on his outer garments, for he had removed it, and plunged into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, that's about how far away they were, dragging the net with the fish. Then as soon as he had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and a fish laid on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. To me, he makes them breakfast on the shore. He already had a fish, and yet he told them where to fish so they would pull in a lot of fish, and said, bring some of those with you too. Let's have breakfast. Let's talk. I mean, to me, this is just like one of the most amazing things he can do. And as we read, you're going to see how more amazing it even becomes. So, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. In verse 11, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. Once again, God shows his favor and his power and his love to these guys through fishing. It's amazing how God can work in our lives if we allow him. And Jesus said to them, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dare ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord, Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and likewise the fish. He fed them. He fixed their breakfast and fed them. A day after he was resurrected. Oh my gosh. These disciples must have been blown away. Verse 14. This is now the third time Jesus showed himself to disciples after he was raised from the dead. This is an amazing, amazing section here. Let's go to verse 15. So when they had eaten breakfast, it just kicks me that it's breakfast. It's not lunch, it's not dinner, it's breakfast. I just love that. Jesus said to Simon, Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, feed my sheep. Now I want to point this out to you. When Jesus uses the word love here in this section, Jonah, do you love me more than these? The word, the Greek word he uses is agape. And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Peter uses the word phileo. So it's not exactly the same word here. And he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, tend my sheep. Again. The same word of love is used by both of them. Verse 17, he says to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Agape. Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? That word agape. And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Phileo. And Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. What a great act of love he has set for us to walk in. Here's Peter, the guy that denied him six times. The guy that goes fishing when there's a problem. The guy that just sometimes was really dumb, like all of us can be. And yet here's Jesus. With these men that were fishing that morning with Peter, and he feeds them breakfast, and he loves them, and then he has this conversation with Peter, who this conversation must have just blessed Peter to no end when he sat back and thought about it. Because here's Jesus telling him, I love you. You know, he didn't say, hey, why did you deny me six times? You know, why didn't you just stand up for me? Why? No. He makes them breakfast, gives them a net full of fish, and then tells Peter, specifically he gets Peter, so Peter won't condemn himself. And I think it's such a wonderful act of love. And, you know, that's what love truly is. Love is actions that we take towards one another, that we take towards people that we may not even know, like letting some guy cut you off when you're driving in your car because he's in such a hurry. We don't yell and scream at those people. Who knows why he's doing that? Is it rude? Is it inconvenient? Yes. But you know what? It's not the end of the world for us, because we know there's a greater act here. We don't have to fight him for the lane in front of us or the parking space at the mall. God will provide all those things for us. The act of love is not just to be given to us as brothers, sisters in Christ. It's for people to see the example of how we love unconditionally. That's what love is. It's action. And the love of God is a positive action taken towards the people that God loves. I mean, feed my sheep. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, we're sons and daughters of God, so we feed each other. You know, it says in 1 Corinthians that the greatest of these, faith, hope, and love, the greatest is love. We can have the hope of the return. I think of that and I think, whoa. But me operating the love of God towards a brother or sister in Christ or towards someone who doesn't even know me, that's greater to God. That's greater. That's what love is. Love is an action of the heart that God has given us to minister, to bless, and to help spread the word of God, to help get people born again. That's love. And you know what? 1 Colossians 1:27 says, to them will God make known what are the riches of his glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles. Listen to this. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is the greatness, to make known the riches of the glory among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you. Because that Christ in you and me gives us the ability to love like Christ loved. It's not that we can't do it. Sometimes we won't do it. Sometimes we get tricked and deceived and angry. But you know what? God will bring us back to this word and to this truth that we can love one another so deeply, so greatly, so unconditionally, so passionately, so kindly, that it will change people's lives. That's what love is. It's an action of God living with inside of us. Take that and give it to the people that you run into, you meet, you love, you live with. That is what love really is. So I hope this was a blessing for you tonight, and that we can continue to just love one another and be there for one another and walk out on this word of God, knowing who we are in Christ. God bless you.